Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If I had a glass of water straight from the sewer, would you not drink it? Of course you wouldn't. If I pour crystal, 100% clear water into a glass with sewer water, you still will not want to drink it. I see this in churches when they take the pure words of God's word and then they mix it with the sewer of the world's rock sound. We could say this, however, about being in church and the pleasures of the world, incorporating their ways as lies, hypocritical ways, untrustworthiness, and a host of other things. You see, the world's standards are not to be ours. That is adultery in God's sight. That is deplorable as the water one would drink from mixed sewer water and crystal pure water, if they're mixed together. Now, if we go to Galatians 3:26-28, we see this Romans 2:28-29 passage. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into the Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. But you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, we see neither Jew nor Greek. But we also see neither male or female. Of course, we recognize that we are still male and female in this life. Our nationality will also remain Jewish. Shem. Caucasian, also called Gentile. Japheth, and the black man and the oriental man, Ham. In heaven, we're neither married nor given in marriage, Jesus said. We find out that one day, in John 16 and Ephesians 2, God makes one fold and one building. This is made up of all believers, from Adam to the last person, who are in Christ Jesus. In the Romans passage, the Holy Spirit is trying to help those in Rome realize they don't need circumcision plus faith to be saved, because the circumcision is of the heart. Many boy babies in our country are circumcised when they're born. That doesn't change those Gentile babies into Jews. Our salvation is of God, not birth or men. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, in other words, you're not born a Christian, nor of the will of the flesh, not by doing all the work and doing the best you can to make it, nor the will of man, not philosophies of men, but of God. God's plan of salvation. You see, we're not male or female because we're made in God's image. That is, we have a spirit that was made in God's image, not a male body or female body. And not a Jew or being a Greek makes us in God's image. It's our spirit. And you see, what we're seeing here then the plan is being laid out in Romans of we are all sinners, and all need a Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They can't earn it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. The Jews of that day need to realize they were originally called as a nation of priests in order to be holy as a living example, and priests as a praying people and a witness to the world of the only way of salvation. Abraham and David will see, blessed is the man that is justified by faith, as we read later in the book of Romans. The gospel is being presented for all men. The heart then must be circumcised by being fully submitted to God with Christ, not self, on the throne of the heart. Our doctrine, our way of life, our standards must all be based on the Word of God with a heart that pants after Him as a deer panteth after the water brook. In short, I am not a Jew because I got saved, but I am what God wanted the Jews to be, as are any who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and are placing their faith in that precious and holy name. And as Exodus 19:6 pointed out, they were a nation of priests. We too, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, offering up sacrifices acceptable unto Him. Well, I appreciate that letter from the listener, and what an interesting question, because I believe that there are people that have asked that in the past and are really, what does that mean? And I hope that was a help to them. Okay, this is the last question in this series and for this year, and I hope that it will be a help to each of you. This one says, I heard one of your sermons earlier. I'm hoping I'm sending this to the correct pastor. I heard at the end that you addressed wearing something better than shorts and a t-shirt to church. I grew up in the era of only true Christians parted their hair, wore shiny shoes, wore a three-piece suit, tie, etc. That's how people knew that you were a Christian. Well, I'm going to answer his letter in as it goes along. I'm not going to read the entire question, then come back and answer it point by point as I go along. So that's his first statement there. And I will tell you this ahead of time. I believe that this is a preacher's son. And so because of that, I found I wanted to answer this because I grew up a preacher's son. And now I'm a preacher with sons who are growing up, adults, and one of them has a son in the ministry, not a pastor, but working in youth work. So I answered this part of his letter about the statement about three-piece suits and ties and so forth rather than shorts and a t-shirt. I said, I can tell you that that is not in the scripture. I grew up around fundamental preachers from all areas as Lee Robertson, Jack Howells, Lester Roloff, John R. Rice, and a host of others, and never heard that one time, as you described it, that you had to part your hair a certain way, wear shiny shoes, a three-piece suit, etc., etc. I never heard that one time. Now, as one evangelist attacked me in a note and said, you fundamentalists have people who visit your church with tattoos and piercings and start to attack them as they're getting out of the car and say something to them before they even get inside the church. Well, I had never seen that either. He made the accusation. Now, I know of one man that would talk to people about the way they were dressed to come to church, and I understand his pastor made sure that he backed off doing that because they're usually unsaved people. But that was an exception. That is not evident of most. You know, I could go into the kind of church that this guy is talking about, being in dress and so forth, and say, I saw somebody in there shooting heroin. So therefore, those kind of churches are all heroin addicts. Well, that'd be a lie and that'd be wrong. But he's making the same assumption because maybe somewhere, sometimes somebody said something. Now, I said, I have preached against those things with those people there, and that is against the tattoos and the piercings and all that. And the very thing that the evangelist condemned with short skirt, and I had three of them get saved that Sunday morning right after he had sent me the letter. In one invitation, a man came in tears, broken. He was saved, but he hadn't been saved long. And he said, "Pastor, I did not know those things you preached on today were sin. I don't want to have anything that hinders my relationship with him." See, he'd only been saved a short time, and he still loved the Lord. Now, this guy goes on, "Right, can you explain exactly where in the Bible where God commands us to wear the finer, more expensive clothing into his house for worship? Because in the end, the shorts, t-shirt, ties, shoes, suits, cufflinks, etc., come from the earth, which has been given to us from your God the Father, and all things given by him are good. So is that suit, tie, made of a holier material than those shorts and t-shirts?" You put triple question marks at. So I wrote, "This may be the area where we need to address. Satan at one time was in charge of heaven's music. We know that by Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 15. Let me explain. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now he's using the king of Tyrus as a type of Satan, okay? And scholars, really, new evangelical as well as the liberals and the conservatives, seem to agree on that. Verse 13 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius and topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created." Now, we see several things in that verse. Some of those things as the rocks, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, and on down jasper, those are things that we see in Revelation 21:22, that great city of God coming to New Jerusalem. And so, Satan here was in the garden of God among the precious jewels that God made. And it seems like he's put in charge of it. He says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes." Those were musical instruments. And those musical instruments were used in that day in heaven before they ever came to this earth, for Satan ever fell. So he's in charge of the jewelry and the music. So that we see that when Satan fell, we see that he never do angels use music, nor do they wear jewelry. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.